This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It is officially 5 p.m. on today, February 2nd, here in the lovely Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I am your co-host, Darvin Russell, and you are listening to Remark. Your captain is delayed today, so don't panic. He will be in studio with us this evening. The telephone numbers for you to speak to us today are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. For those of you listening from the Family Islands or online, 242-300-5720 are the lines for this evening's show. Today we're departing from our usual conversations around politics and the country, and we're going to talk tonight on a somewhat somber topic, but nonetheless, it's a very important topic, as many of us are dealing with family members that are plagued by cancer. So tonight we're going to have a perspective on cancer, what it is, what are the rates here in the Bahamas, what are some of the challenges that you face when dealing with cancer treatment for your loved ones here in the Bahamas, what alternatives you have discovered, and what have been your experiences dealing locally, and for those of you that get treatment abroad, how can you compare the two situations? I am joined in studio, before Garth gets here, with Mr. Rudolph Strawn, who is a recovering prostate cancer patient, and he's a survivor of cancer. And I'm sure many of you have your stories to share, and I would love to hear from you this evening. So without further ado, let us all get started. So when you think about what cancer is, I will put a few bits of statistics here for your consideration. I know anecdotally, we hear a lot about rates of cancer and how things are so much worse in the Bahamas than they are in other countries. But I would have you know that the rate of cancer in the Bahamas is actually along the global average, which is about 195 cases per 100,000 residents. So with a population of about 400,000 persons, we would be dealing with around 800 cancer patients here in the Bahamas on an annual basis. Another bit of statistic for your information. We have the pricing in terms of the cost to treat average cancer patient annually. These are U.S. statistics, and I would imagine they would be comparable here in the Bahamas. It ranges from about $110 to $141,000 per year. So cancer, of course, is by no means a cheap illness for us to be able to treat based on our national health system. And as you know, this is not a specialization, if you will, of the Bahamian healthcare system. We're often challenged with the number of oncologists available in the country. Quality of facilities may also be an issue, and any myriad of other issues that we are faced with here in this nation. So by definition, for those scholars out there, those medical scholars, cancer by definition is a group of diseases involving abnormal cell growth with the potential to invade or spread to other parts of the body, what the definition of cancer is according to Wikipedia. So without further ado, allow me to introduce Mr. Strawn. Mr. Strawn, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is a recovering prostate cancer survivor. And if you can, Mr. Strawn, in a few moments, could you share with us What has been your cancer journey? Let us know kind of the when you were diagnosed, what's been your experience with treatment? How did you know that something was wrong with you? What drove you and prompted you to treatment? And I know for a lot of men out there, this is going to be a little sensitive topic, but nonetheless, it's better that we be wise than foolish in this area. So, Mr. Strawn, please, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Yes, my journey started in December 22, 2022. What happened really, actually, I think just November, just before that, I had a stroke. And I was just basically getting over that. And one day in December, as I mentioned, December, that same year, I tried to use the bathroom, but nothing was happening. Mm-hmm. There was complete blockage there. And the pressure just kept building and building. And I knew I had to get to the doctor mm-hmm. to have some attention, to seek medical attention. And it so happened that at the time I couldn't get in a medical emergency vehicle to us. So my family took me to my local doctor first, and they said, based on how my situation was, it's best for me to go to the hospital. And so they rushed me over to doctor's hospital. Mm-hmm. And after this medical procedure, I was able to get some relief there. But and I thought maybe, well, okay, you know, that was okay. So I'll get a little medication, whatever. They send me back home, and I'll be fine.
So that you weren't diagnosed at that point, that initial
right? No, not at all. And so they called the urologist, mm-hmm. experts in, and they said, you know, and he came and said, well, we're going to have to do some tests and so on and see what's going on, what caused this and why you're having that blockage and so on and so forth. And they did the test, and later on, about a week or so later, came to the room and he said, well, I hope you're ready for this. You got your PSA scores. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're over 260. So I know the norm is usually 10. So
the normal is 10. Okay.
I mean, the range, the highest they look at is 1 to 10, with the normal range basically falling between 1 and 4. So when I heard 200, I was like, I started
panicking.
My head.
Yeah, yeah.
I realized I was in serious shape.
Yes.
Seriously bad shape, that is. And so I spoke further with the doctor, and they said that they will do a biopsy mm-hmm. to determine the degree and the spread of the prostate to the cells, because at that time I started developing a slight pain on the left lower portion of my hip.
Okay.
And I had my lower back was giving me some issues as well. Mm-hmm. And so they said, okay, we'll do this biopsy and we'll send it off to get a test and see what's happening. And it came back, and lo and behold, he said that there was, I think I got a score, forget the score, they call the FICO score or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It came back very high. And so I was diagnosed with a stage 4 prostate cancer, metastatic prostate cancer.
And what year is this now? What's that time frame? We tracking this?
Yes, 2022.
Okay, so this is 2022, November.
December 2022.
Okay. So you finally get this official diagnosis,
yes.
Stage 4 mm-hmm. cancer. Now this is in the Bahamas?
In the Bahamas,
okay.
Yes. With my local urologist and medical team here.
Okay.
So I went to several other doctors to share the information with them, my diagnosis, and to find out what the procedure will be in terms of treatment.
Yes.
And I think the doctor at that time started me off with Casodex, a little pill I had to take. And that's what we started with. And then they recommended that I would need radiation. They said, no, we wouldn't recommend surgery at this stage. Mm-hmm. Radiation begin with the Casodex, it's a chemo tab, mm-hmm. and see where we go from there.
Okay.
And so we did that, had the then had a MRI done as well to determine the size and the overall position, the spread, and they were able to find exactly where it was, what was causing the issues, and so now I understand why I understood why I was having the blockage, mm-hmm. the urination blockage, because that node was pressing against the bladder. And mm-hmm. so it was squeezing okay. it. So because it was swollen and the prostate itself was swollen, and so it was squeezing the neck of the bladder. And
causing the pain, and yeah, okay.
And blocking everything. And so eventually that was, at this time it was about January, February 2023.
Okay.
And in that time, around that time, they introduced the hormone therapy because they said I had an aggressive form of prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, that wasn't settling too well mm-hmm. with me either.
Okay.
Because now you're at risk of talking about it spreading to nearby organs, adrenals, kidneys, maybe even the bone. And so they suggested an aggressive form of treatment it's a hormone treatment where I have an injection every 3 months. So you have an infusion treatment every 3 months. You get this hormone shot. The one I'm taking is, what's it again? Zoladex.
Okay.
Zoladex 10.8 milligrams. Every 3 months I receive that. And after being here for a while, I spoke with my primary care physician. And well, maybe I should go to Cleveland too and see what they're saying, you know. Mm-hmm. So I decided to travel to Cleveland Clinic. And that was April 23. And they said the same thing. They had the same diagnosis that the doctors gave me here. And they were ready to provide the radiation therapy. But I couldn't do it because I needed residence to someplace to stay because they were talking at least about three to four months of radiation therapy.
Meaning you needed to be near the hospital facility for that period of time.
Yes.
So this is big money we're talking here.
Big mm-hmm. money, because if I stayed in a hotel, even though they were offering a good rate, you're still talking about at least $400, $400 or $500 a week.
This is incredible.
So that's like about $2,000 mm-hmm. a month mm-hmm. just for a stay.
And you're just waiting, right? So what, and I think this is important for the listeners to understand. It's not like you are in the hospital for every single day. You're just moving periodically through the hospital to receive treatment. So is it like that, or is it that you're in the hospital for extended periods of time?
It would be an outpatient.
An outpatient situation.
So you just
okay.
go every day, you would go for that period of time, and at that time they were recommending 8 to 9 weeks.
So what is, because you need to educate, we got to educate the people, because mm-hmm. you're teaching me as much as I'm sure for those people that haven't personally had to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So when you go to the hospital for each treatment, mm-hmm. how long are you there for?
Basically, it's very short, basically 15, 20 minutes. You're in, you receive the radiation. And then you're off. You return home.
So now check this out. So here's what I want people to understand. Now, y'all know that I'm a finance, I'm a math guy.
Yes.
So Mr. Strawn is saying plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
He's hotel accommodations, food. Just to be in hospital as an outpatient for 15 minutes, he has to incur all of these other incidental charges just to receive this kind of treatment. So tell the people, why is this here in Nassau where you had room and board availability? What was the reason you chose to go to the United States in the first place?
Okay, well, the facilities here is pretty good mm-hmm. In the Bahamas. I am not knocking anything on the medical care received. It was excellent mm-hmm. in the Bahamas also. But I found out that I would have to do a scan, PET scan
mm-hmm.
at that time, a PSMA PET scan, proton scan, it's mm-hmm. not available in Bahamas.
Okay.
And so what would happen is when that time comes for me to do a scan, I'd have to have it out of the travel. I still have to travel again to Florida.
Yes.
And have that scan, and it's about $1,300 over there. And I would have to have that at least probably throughout my course of treatment and the following day after, probably at least six times.
Six times.
And so you're talking about $7,000, $8,000 easily, you mm-hmm. know. For that. And so my daughter, fortunately, my daughter lives in Orlando and she works at Advent Health.
Wow.
And so I told her that check the hospital to see if what doctor there, because at that time, mm-hmm. where I worked, we were covered with Atlantic Health.
Go ahead, then.
Atlantic Medical. And Atlantic Medical provided good coverage, but then you have to have someone to process the documents. You have to do like a pre-certification before you even travel.
Okay.
And sometimes that's a delay. And so while I was getting that done, I was able to connect. She was able to connect me with the person at Advent Health, who's responsible for international patients, because mm-hmm. they have someone else, a nurse / social worker that's just assigned to you.
Kind of like liaison, kind
right,
of like person. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And she would do all of the paperwork for you, medical appointments, process your insurance card documents, that sort of thing, the whole nine yards. And so fortunately, she said, they just established a new cancer institute not too far from her. And I said, well, check that out, see if the doctors are there. And sure mm-hmm. enough, the doctors there, that facility was included in the plan.
Excellent.
So, which provided a big relief for me. And so I was able to travel there,
mm-hmm.
and they said the same thing. It'll be 9 weeks radiation therapy. I started in June, and I also completed it August 17th. I always remember I rang the bell on August 17th. Okay.
August 17th, so we're now in 2023. This is almost like a year since your diagnosis.
Almost a year. Okay. Almost a year. I'm now completing it by August 17th, 2023. I was completing my treatment. During that time, like I said, every day you'd be going, you have to drink, you have to have a full bladder, and that was a challenge. That was tricky, because when you drink that water now, you can't drink too much and you can't drink too little. So they scan you first.
Can't say nothing.
Mr. Strawn, Rudolph, you have to drink a little more water. Come back in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I have to go and wait, drink, and come back. And the thing is, the tricky part of it, that is that you have to, as the treatment moves on, your bladder is being stimulated more and more. So you have a very difficult task holding that water.
Mm.
So I found myself, I had to wear
Depends. These fellas ain't like it what you're talking tonight.
It is what it is.
And
if you're gonna seek treatment, you have to know these things.
Absolutely.
And so they prepared me for it. You know, they said, you know, as it comes to the end, we're gonna increase the concentration and of radiation, and that would have some effect, because it overstimulates the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find yourself going more frequently to the bathroom for at least 3 weeks or 3 weeks a month.
Yes.
So you get very little sleep. For me, initially, it was like every 30 minutes an hour, I was going.
Wow.
I was gone. And eventually, I started to slow a bit, and I was able to. I find that certain things worked better for me and helped me through that process, like mm-hmm. alkaline water. And I eventually fielded my way through research and through other means, found different foods, I swapped my entire diet.
Okay.
I was a pescatarian, I guess what you call it now?
A pescatarian.
Pescatarian, mm-hmm. yeah. So I was mostly vegetarian and fish.
Okay.
And I did a lot of juicing as well, and that helped tremendously. There are some other things I did that I'll say off air, mm-hmm. but that's very good as well. But the journey, when I, like I was saying, thank God early for the insurance, mm-hmm. because the cost is very high.
Yes,
I spent probably personally at least $10,000 between traveling, food, and I thought I didn't have the accommodations to worry about because
mm-hmm.
my daughter was there. But there's still other incidentals, and you have the copay.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say that they were very flexible, and they worked with me. They gave me a plan that to assist me, so that you can stretch out your payments and that sort of thing. So But it is very costly because
it is.
In total now, I think to date, when I looked at the last figures, I think it was around $175,000.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
But the insurance, of course, took care a lot of it, and I'm grateful for that. But I would tell people now that if you can, even if you have insurance, still create some sort of a savings fund where you have something for emergency, or you can get and give you a jump start into your medical care, so that if you have any crisis,
major issues, like,
you know, you have something at least to buffer you for a while. Because I never knew. I was, and the thing is, I was seeing my doctor prior, you know, and it was like a year or so passed, and I didn't get to go. I think with the COVID and everything,
kind of
put an interruption and things. So maybe I think that's when stuff developed more, and you couldn't really get out and do the things you wanted to do. And man, all of a sudden, I found myself with this major advance. Prostate cancer. So I want to encourage the men out there who are listening, especially, and even the women,
yes,
who are the men in your life, to let them know, in case they're not able to hear this recording, but that is very, very important that you have your scans. And I know you said you're afraid of the digital rectal exams,
sure,
that sort of thing, but listen here, that's so essential in terms of having good prostate health. And I would say combine the three. I would recommend three forms of evaluation.
Yes.
Do the PSA, the blood work, to know where that's at. But that's not the only thing. The actual physical exam is important. The digital rectal exam that the doctors would give, that's very, very important. And if you can get a scan.
Okay.
So that they can see the actual size, because the equipment that they can measure the width or the size of the prostate and determine whether there's growth in that area, expansion, or maybe a spread. If the doctor can look at it, see if there's some spread maybe to another area. And so the scan helps with that. The digital rectal exam is important because the doctor, he explained to me that what happens is when they go in and they touch the prostate, if she said, feel the tip of your nose, so you feel how it's soft and flexible. She said, that's how your prostate should be.
Okay.
She said, but if I go in there and it feels like your forehead, then we know you're in trouble. So
that's a really good point that you made. When you got your diagnosis in 2022, you mentioned that you were going to the doctor on a regular basis, but you didn't have check, or you did?
I had one. I don't think I had enough.
You had one. Okay.
I should have gone.
And it was
more.
Just the physical exam that you had.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what age was that, if you remember, that you had that first initial check?
At that time, I was 56.
Okay. So most people, especially when you're talking about men of color, right? Because it's a greater predominance for us than it is for our white brothers, right? So when you talk about that, I think I had my first exam at 45, and I actually haven't had one since. So you sensitizing me that I probably need to go back to the doctor to make sure during my annual that this is something that they look at. So do you think that this is a situation where we as men, first of all, don't do it enough, if we do it at all? So we don't do it enough. And do you feel as though the detective, or shall we say the modes of detection, this PSA, both the physical exam and as well as the scan, is that the trifecta of tests, are all of those things done in the Bahamas when we screen for prostate cancer?
Well, I know they are available here.
They are available. Okay.
But it's up to you now when you visit your doctor to request
specifically everything. Those things, because right now they only do the physical
sometimes,
check, right?
Well, they would do all, but sometimes some persons only want to go and get the PSA test, the blood test,
okay,
because they don't want the doctor, you know,
the invasiveness of the we know how men go, especially
right.
Bahamian men,
you know, the dog, I don't want
you to touch me down there, we know, so, we know,
but that's very, very essential to the diagnosis, because the PSA can read 10.
Yes.
Can read 7, right?
And you can still have something going on.
Or four. Yeah. When the doctor examined it, he said, wait, there's something wrong here. There's number so and four or five, or maybe even three or seven, or, you know, whatever the case. But it's like 100, you know, even worse. So so they know, the doctors are trained. We have very highly skilled doctors here in the Bahamas that are trained, and they know right away if something is wrong. Once they do that exam, they can tell that you have, you know, you have serious issues.
Issues, okay.
And you need to, and the other thing is sometimes persons like to delay, they like to put off. Oh, yes. Well, you know, doc, I come back next year. Well, you may not be here next year because some form of cancers are very aggressive. And so they need to put provide a form of service and treatment that'll be just as aggressive and to offer you some chance or hope of survival. Mm-hmm. And you can survive, because I remember when I went, the first time I went to Cleveland, and I told the doctor who saw me, she said, oh, okay, so you have stage 4 cancer. Yes, and we'll treat you, we'll get you back up and running, and you'll be on your way.
Wait, yeah.
Say, hey, now, hold on.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe us, because I was like, I was getting a different.
So talk about that though, because I think that one of the things that I think we have to bear in mind is this is the difference between places who specialize in a thing and places who treat things based off of purely available resources. Right, in the U.S., they have a greater degree of capacity to treat these things. Cancer research, for example, has gone so far, especially when it comes to breast cancer and in your case, prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the hormone therapy and those kinds of things. Whereas, as you're saying, here, we hear stage 4 in the Bahamas, and it's immediately have your funeral plans and say goodbye to daddy and grampy, right?
Yes.
But you're saying, you know, they had a very different outlook. Mm-hmm. It was more hopeful. And actually, I was talking to a friend of mine who, unfortunately, her mom passed away from cancer, a different type of, she had pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that one of the things that cancer patients and their caregivers, when you go to the doctor, it's already a tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't even have hope
right.
from the practitioner,
right.
everybody in the way. It's, mm-hmm. it's just so depressing to mm-hmm. go through this experience like you're lonely. So I hear being queued up. Yeah. So fantastic synopsis, Mr. Strawn. So we're going to take a break now, and when we get back, the captain of the ship will join us, and we will continue this discussion on cancer here in the Bahamas. We'll be back. This is Remark with Garth Roseborough.
Loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, everybody. We are back on Remark, and I'm your co-host, Darvin Russell. Joining me now in studio is, of course, the captain of the ship, Mr. Garth Roseborough, and Mr. Renwick Roll, who is our other special guest. And I forgot to introduce Mr. Nico Moss. Nico Mosco is also here in studio with us today. All of us men are chatting about cancer, and specifically before we took the break, Mr. Strawn was telling us about his cancer journey with prostate cancer. And we were encouraging all of you men out there to make sure you go and get tested this year. Do not let 2025 go before you get tested. And to our wonderful wives, sisters, and female friends, please make sure, do your breast exams. Make sure you go and get tested. This is a very serious, very expensive illness. And we all know the rates of cancer in the country are just too high for us to bear. I was doing some simple farmer's math, Garth, before the show, and we were talking about how cancer, the cost of cancer, is about $200,000 per individual. And I think Mr. Strawn mentioned that that's about what the bill was. So just think about that. 800 people with cancer in the Bahamas at 200,000 is $160 million. Yeah. So when you think about the budget of PHA, which is less than $400 million, 800 cancer patients will absorb over a quarter of the budget, the entire healthcare budget in the country, if we provided the level of care that Mr. Strawn was talking about. So you understand the magnitude of this problem. So now when you talk about pancreatic cancer, you talk about cervical cancer, you talk about all of the other cancers that we haven't even touched on yet, you're going to be faced with catastrophic bills that it's very difficult for a small country with the current construct that we have with healthcare, health insurance, and the PHA system with our public health system, we're going to be strained to be able to do this effectively. So not only do we need to look at how we treat cancer, but we have to think fundamentally about a new model that we go toward as a country and how we in the nation. So I know you've been waiting. I'll turn the mic over to the captain of the ship. Garth, welcome.
Well, you know, I thank God for being here. My friend Remick Roll is joining us, just came in from the airport, and thank you for his safe arrival. It's good to know when friends can actually make it on the ground amidst all the news of aircraft collisions north of here in the United States. So I was there waiting. And that's one thing we're accustomed to at the airport, is waiting. And I must apologize for my government and my airport, because I was there on time, and I wanted to be here on time. But, you know, as I listened in the car, I was just so very touched and about your story, Mr. Rudolph Strawn, and very proud of Mr. Darvin Russell, the way he was handling the show. And it's almost as if it was supposed to be. And so no excuse for it being the way it is, but I was enjoying the show. And so what I want to do is continue that flow with Darvin Russell, the questioning. But the other reason why we're here is that as we listen to the cost of healthcare in this country, when it comes especially to cancer, I'm thinking about my friend Diego Davis, someone who I grew up with, who taught me how to roller skate on Sayers Hill, went to St. Thomas More together. He was the basketball star of the school. He was always an inspiration to us young men, as one of the brothers, one of the guys. I spend many hours at his house. I go on to other people who I know who are now plagued with this disease. Mm-hmm. And we have lost friends in the past from this disease.
Yes.
Women, you breast cancer. I think about Shawnlee Morris and her sister Pam Morris in South Beach. Two beautiful sisters, very educated, very talented. As we say, gone too soon. And so the reason why I had to bring this subject to the airwaves is because there comes a point when it just overwhelms you. You're hearing all the news of other people who are now being plagued in this particular fashion. And you know the cost of it because you have a family member that's endured this cost. You know, and I know, that cooking up chicken and pork chop and all the rest of this stuff at some, what do you call these things again now, these fundraisers or these cookout, it's never going to be enough. Our government, you know something about cancer. You have to have somebody in our government who specializes in knowledge in knowing why there's so much cancer in this country. There are things that cause cancer like carcinogens. Where are these carcinogens coming from? Yes, we know tobacco can cause cancer. Yes, we know alcohol consumption can cause cancer. Yes, we know that bleaching creams, you know, some of you people, you're dark skin and you want to be light skin. I must say it straight. It can cause cancer. The acrylic that you use for your nails and your eyelashes, they can cause cancer. You know, some cancer is hereditary. Say, I got to talk straight. Y'all were talking that nice scientific talk and family talk, but I got to shoot it straight to you. Some of you people, you're cooking oil, and you want to use that same cooking oil a whole week or 2 weeks, even a month, so you don't change your cooking oil. Some of you go to these restaurants where you think they change the cooking oil, but they don't change the cooking oil, and they're cooking the food in old grease, old fat, old lard. You know, you're consuming these carcinogens in various forms in this country, but no one is talking about it. You have a Ministry of Health. Let me just shoot straight before I dive in. Let me crash land this plane and tell you what time it is. When we had the oil spill in Marathon, let me start there. Have we ever fully addressed the oil spill in Marathon and the long-term effect on the citizenry that's around Marathon? When that chemical leaks into the water table, where does it go? Mm-hmm. You know, we have people in our country that are specialized in this area, like Mr. Anthony Ryan himself. Maybe we need to get him on the show to find out what's going on with the Marathon oil spill, because he was there. When you have the Adelaide oil spill, coming from the line coming in from Clifton Pier, who addressed that? And let me just say it straight again. The Minister of Environmental Health in this country is the Member of Parliament for Golden Isles. Where is the report? How is that affecting the drinking water of the residents of Adelaide Village and the surrounding area of Coral Harbor? We need to ask these questions. Let's look at the oil spill at Borco over in Grand Bahama, Pinder's Point. What's going on with that? Are there any long-term repercussions that we don't know about that is actually occurring right now to increase the amount of cancer in this country? The Clifton Pier, where you had an oil a tanker that spilled some oil over there. What's going on with that particular oil spill? There's so many things, you know. Okay, let me ask another question. Where do you dump the transmission fluid and the oil that comes from these cars or from these garages? Where does that go? Is that also going into our water table? And then what about all of the emissions from cars throughout the country? Are we going to go ahead and get emissions control in this country to ensure that as we drive on our streets, we walk on our streets, we jog on our streets, that we are able to breathe good, clean, fresh air without the cause of cancer? You heard the high cost of cancer and bad health in this country. You yourself know that if you go to Princess Margaret Hospital, you know it's one and done. Didn't one prime minister say that? One and done. That's it. So you have to go abroad. When you go abroad, that's airfare, that's hotel, as Mr. Strawn said, that you got to pay your copay, your insurance, everything got to be in touch and intact. And you complain about the high cost of living in this country. How the hell are you going to afford health care when it comes to you getting sick with cancer? Believe rubbing your skin down with chemicals and putting things on your skin and drinking oil, cooking oil is going to be something beneficial to you, think about the cost of cancer. $200,000 per year to treat yourself if you want to live. Is beauty that important? Is being quiet about the issue of oil spills in your country that important? You got to talk about this.
But that's if you have insurance. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I don't have insurance. Forget my last name. I'm uninsurable. And I just spoke to our guest. I had to shake his hand. He's gone through hell. I've had brain surgery when I was 22 years old. Mine was different. Mine was... Anyway, that's another story. But what you're pointing out, Garth, is things that we know. Back in the 50s, at the airport, right at the end of the runway, they were dumping all the fuel, all the oil. Yeah? I represented a client that was going to buy a fairly large section of downtown. You remember, and you and I spoke about this. Where the police station was, and they put that choo-choo train thing, right? That was part of the acquisition. That used to be a... Do you know the entirety of Bay Street? They used to pour all the transmission, oil, everything. We all know that. Those of us that are... I'm not that old, but I'm not young. Downtown is riddled with the environmental issue that we did. We said, no, we're not going to buy it. Now, on top of that, the dump. Think about the dump. What you and I as grown men and all of us that are sitting here, we're past our 50s. Some of us are older. We know only burning. Do you know all of those things that you have in your house, the batteries, all that garbage went into the landfill, right? And then it rains, and then the fire comes. They burn it. That's what government did. And then they put it out, and it's all leaching into the water table. Yeah? So you're talking about Marathon. That's new. They swept it under the rug. When we were growing up here, you remember playing ball and everything else, you run to the hose and you drink the water out of the hose. Go do that now. All your hair going to drop out. The fact of the matter is, cancer is something that is preventable. But what is going on is that there's never been any forethought by the government or anybody, right? If the Bahamian people didn't walk on Bahamar at that point when it was burning and we were breathing, those of us that live in Cable Beach and in that vicinity of the dump, had that not happened, this crap would be still going on. Cancer is something that is shocking. And we're living on a polluted island. We're little. We're this big. We're tiny. We're the size of a 21 by 7. All of that, we have 300 plus, all of that poison is going in the dump. We don't know who's controlling the dump. We only hear the company name. What are they doing? But it's leaching into the water table. That's part of it. Then we have a genetic issue with our women that have a rare genetic gene that causes breast cancer. Then we're also being injected with export material from the United States that can't be sold in the United States, and it's marked export.
Or export only.
The government hasn't delved into anything that we get. We're one of the only countries in the world that accept Raid. You know, the bug spray. Yeah. We all grew up, Raid Randall, kill everybody, kill you too. Right? But it's banned all over the world. We got a bunch of jokers in government. They're not protecting us. They never have. Now our people are dying. And Garth and I have spoken about this, and I posted it on Facebook today. There was five flyovers today, chemtrails, all day, all night, all day. When the clouds formed, these other guys were going across, it looked like tic-tac-toe, right? I called on Friday to aviation. This ain't my, I won't mention his name, but we don't have the facilities to go beyond 30,000 or 35,000 feet. Yeah. So we sold it to the United States. That's what he's telling me. So these dudes are flying, doing chemtrails. Now, I encourage the Bahamian people to get educated. And I said it last week, and I said it the week before, yes? Being ignorant is a danger to yourself because your government's not going to be honest with you. These dudes are flying. Their colleagues can look up what a chemtrail is consisting of, but it's aluminum. They said to reduce the amount of climate change or whatever it is, right? Mm. It's part of the control as relates to the amount of us that are on the planet, just like the COVID vaccine. Yep. What this does is it causes you to go sterile, right? So we can't produce. Also gives you cancer. These dudes are playing tic-tac-toe on more so, it's all during the week, but on the weekends, because people are out on the beach, people are playing tennis, they're playing golf, and picnicking, whatever we do, right? You should have seen it today. It was shocking. Now, I have pictures of all of this, and it's been emailed, and my mechanic was at my leave, and I had my neighbors look. And what happens is the chemtrail is this little tiny jet stream, and they cut it off. You can see them cut it off. And then all of a sudden, it turns into these clouds. Everything that we're dealing with about cancer, I'm not a doctor, but I am very well read. Big Pharma, the food we eat from the United States, is loaded with problems. Mr. Trump and his staff are now saying, we're going to go after you for this. We're getting the dregs of the society. And at the same time, they're giving us medication. They're giving us the illness. Then they're giving us the Band-Aid through medication, but there's no cure. And the cures that are available, and you can, all of you that are listening, go on the internet and find about the Israeli man that disappeared when he has the cure for this, 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 and this, right? It's all business.
Well, what I'm thinking as I listen to, there's nothing really joyful in what you're saying.
No.
But here is my big issue, Darwin, Russell, and guest. Where is the scientific community in the Bahamas? We send the children off to school. They study physics. They study chemistry. They study biology. We even have students that have gone off and studied robotics. We have a Bahamian in aeronautical science that actually works at NASA. We do have the mind ability to answer these questions and to find solutions for ourselves and to bring preventative measures. But to actually encourage the Bahamian people with just a small grouping of individuals to just delve into this whole issue as to find a way out, to give us the map, to say, you know what, this is how you eat, this is what's going on in your environment, this is how you're going to prevent this dreaded situation. How does our government now encourage these type of people? Because we're not hearing of these type of people anywhere in our society. You got a Ministry of Environment. You have all these doctors. You have all these nurses. You understand? We have all these different ministries, Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Community Affairs. You know, we got Ministry of Social.
Why not have that Ministry of
Social Services? You know, we got all of these agencies like BAIC. It all sounds good, but what good is all of this if the people are dying, Darvin Russell?
These are fair questions, Garth. I think one of the things that that we have to bear in mind, besides the fact that we are a small country, and being a small country requires, I think, a greater degree of innovation, not a smaller degree of innovation. The question around research is a very fair one. I think I would throw that challenge out to my former colleagues at the University of the Bahamas, and I think what we have to do is we have to become more research-based. No, we do not have a medical university here in the Bahamas, but there's nothing preventing our bachelor's degree students in chemistry or biology from doing this as a type of study experience for them, as an independent study type project. I think when you collaborate, we have to look to our neighbors to the south, our Jamaican friends, our Trinidadian friends, where the medical campuses of the University of the West Indies are housed, and collaborate more on research. I think we have to talk to our friends in Grand Bahama, where the American Medical University is housed, our Medical University, Ross University in Grenada. I mean, we have resources around us that would, I think, equip us better to be able to deal with this situation. So when we get back from the break, we're going to continue the conversation with Mr. Strawn and have Mr. Roll say his mention, and we'll be right back.
What about all the things that you said was yours and mine? Did you ever stop to notice all the blood we shed before? Did you ever stop to notice this crying earth, this weeping storm?
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Are you looking for a fresh experience? Look no further than Fresh Market. Our store is stocked with the freshest produce, meats, and dairy, all sourced locally and internationally for the best quality. With our commitment to freshness and our friendly associates, your shopping experience is sure to be a breeze. Come visit Fresh Market today and taste the difference freshness can make.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-236. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good evening, everybody. We are back on Remark, and I am your co-host, Darvin Russell. In studio with me, Rudolph Strawn, of course, Garth Roseboro, Mr. Roll, and Mr. Nico Mosco. So Mr. Roll is the only guest that hasn't introduced himself. So if you don't mind, Mr. Roll, give the audience some background on who you are, and let us hear about your experience. And before you finish your contribution, make sure to tell us if you've had your prostate check.
Yeah. Good evening, everybody in Radio Land. My name is Renmick Rule. I'm a good friend of God. God just came to the airport to pick me up. Hearing that my good friend is the cancer survivor here, I heard that he had cancer, but I haven't seen him in years, and here it is. Mr. Strong, we grew up together, me, him, and God. We grew up together in church. And now I was listening to the story that he had, and for me, it was mind-blowing. I want to say my prayers goes out to you and your family and hope that everything continue to go well for you.
Thank you.
Now, the subject of cancer, I mean, is a big subject here in the Bahamas. Because like piggybacking on what Mr. Rosenbaum said earlier, that the oil spill that they had, the former minister, he said that votes were more important to him than to complete the study.
Yeah.
That was mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. You know, and then also too, I don't know if y'all remember, they used to mention that it was a rock mining in Freeport. And a lot of people that live around that particular area in Freeport, they had cancer too.
Yes, very true.
And they continue to have cancer.
Very true.
You know, I know a lot of people. In fact, my uncle, he died from prostate cancer. Wow. And then I want to encourage the men out there to go ahead and check, because I had mine done. And you know what the doctor said to me? Who would you rather? Because, I mean, you know, you have the stigma, mm-hmm, that the doctor pushes his finger, mm-hmm, up your, mm-hmm, behind. Mm-hmm. So he asked me, say, who would you prefer to put his finger up my behind, mm-hmm, him or the Undertaker?
Wow.
I said, go ahead.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave that at there, Mr. Rowe. So the numbers to call in for you to contribute this evening are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. So, gentlemen, we've talked a lot tonight about prostate cancer and other forms of cancer. And, you know, before we segue into the other portion of the show, we have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. How
you
doing?
We're wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well. Interesting show. I didn't catch the entire thing, but I caught the portion where the gentleman was talking about certain things like the geoengineering, but the, mm-hmm, chemtrails and the aluminum that they're raining down on us and stuff like that. And I feel as if we really need to have a deeper discussion on what the gentleman was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And if God is in, or I didn't know if God is in, but I heard some of the, you know, but, you know, they need to have him in on a weekday, mm-hmm, on a weekday program. We need to talk some different things like that, because see, that we are not privy to, mm-hmm, that is destroying us. And all we are left to do is we are trying to solve a problem by dealing with the symptom,
mm-hmm,
and that will never work. You know, that kind of way. We could never stop the, if the roof is leaking on the, you know what I mean, we could never solve the problem by keep mopping up the floor and getting more buckets and stuff. We got to go fix the roof.
Yes.
We got to figure out where this thing is coming from, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I have is that nowadays, like, because I'm 50 years old, and when I was younger, you know, we used to get one or two little vaccines, you know what I mean? Nowadays, children get probably up to 20,
mm-hmm,
you know, which is ridiculous. You understand where I'm coming from? I mean, I'm a human being. They're a human being. I haven't had all those vaccines that they had. I mean, you know what I mean? What are they giving these little babies, mm-hmm, at a tender age? What are they doing to their system? You know, that kind of way. Mm-hmm. They talk about where autism come from, and autism is a product of the vaccinations, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it seems as if, like, when you want to talk about the things, certain things, you can't talk about certain things. Like, mm-hmm, you can't talk about where autism come from. That's against the rules, mm-hmm, and stuff like that, right? But I can remember when Mr. Gomez was head of the Ministry of Health many years ago.
Yes.
Right. They had this program. I think his individual was from Canada, and Mr. Gomez was on a show with Steve McKinney, coming down here and experimenting, using some experimental drug on our females. You know what I mean? Some trial drug. This is gonna be the first time they're gonna use them as guinea pigs, mm-hmm, right? So I'd call the show and I'd ask Mr. Gomez, because I was wondering, how in the world could you, how could you okay that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of way, why don't you let that gentleman and his crew go vaccinate the people in Dayland?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How is it that, what makes you like, you know what I mean, to make your people subject to this thing.
Yes.
You understand where I'm coming from? So I had to ask them, like, you know, what's the reason? Do you want to be a part of history or something?
Mm-hmm. No, you're a guinea pig. And no, we're guinea pigs. We don't matter. And if you look at the news, it was actually released yesterday. And thank you for your call. You're dialed right in. But one of the African countries, I don't remember, so I can't say what it is. They just they pulled out of the WHO. Now, when you start thinking about it, all these horrific, horrible, contained contagions are happening where? Africa. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. They don't matter.
No, not to the world.
No, they don't.
No, sir.
That's where all the experiments are happening. Why don't they matter? Well, who knows? Is it race? Is it... We have no idea. But they pulled out of the WHO yesterday. And your call is incredibly important.
Yes, well, I appreciate that. I saw a video, I think it was Kenya, where the gentleman was talking about they were going to stop using this stuff because they have found out that...
And the vaccines, you're totally right.
...the program have made the women sterile and different things like that, so they don't trust the WHO anymore. But before I go, because I don't want to, you know, but
sure.
there's an organization called the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's called.
Oh, the monsters.
The Charles, I think it's the head used to be some Schwab or some one gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a serious thing that we live in a world where individuals who we do not vote for are the ones who call the shots.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that's a very serious thing because the individuals who we vote for, they go to various conferences and different things where these individuals, I mean other individuals who we did not vote for, tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then they come back here and they do what these people say. You know what I mean? But see, because it's very interesting because, see, notice, gentlemen, when COVID came, because that World Economic Fund said that COVID is a joke to what's coming, that cyber attack and dinner. And the entire world was lost, right? And no one could say nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The president of America, no one saying nothing. Who stood up and told the world which direction the world is going to go from here? Bill Gates. Who was Bill Gates? Bill Gates ain't no doctor. Bill Gates is not an elected
official. He's a monster.
Who is he? And he's a man who said that his pet peeve in life is vaccination. So if he could come back, he want to come back as a vaccine. You understand where I'm coming from? And these are the individuals who we have, who we sit back, and who we let control the world. As a matter of fact, Bill Gates right now, Bill Gates is the largest, or one of the largest...
landholders in the United
America.
States.
What is he buying that land for?
Because of geoengineering.
And we need to talk about this new thing, because I heard the government was on the other day, some representatives from the government, but it's quasi... government agency, and they was talking about this thing called Codex Alimentarius. All right? Now, Codex Alimentarius, they're talking because they was talking about food safety. They was talking about how this whole thing is designed to make sure that the food we eat is going to be safe.
Mm-hmm. What is that again? I'm going to look it up.
Codex Alimentarius. It's a part of something called Agenda 2030. And what Codex Alimentarius about is that, well, it's about food. They want to control food. And what's going to happen is that, because we are onto this thing, and all foods that we consume are going to have to be radiated, right? All animal products that we eat, all animals that are going to be for human consumption, are going to have to be vaccinated with this bovine, some kind of bovine vaccine, something that Monsanto has. So these are the things that's going to be our future. We're going to eat poison. You know what I mean? Food is going to be our death. You know, and on top of that, too, our government is not about self-sufficiency, so not only is it going to be our death, but we can't say nothing because if we do, we'll starve to death. So
sure.
either which way is death. If you don't get it, you die. If you eat it, you die. The future is a serious thing because we have leaders like a gentleman who was saying, we have leaders who are worthless, who don't care, who don't have any directions, and who I said before, who are only puppets for international communities.
They're all
puppets. None of those individuals who we elect goes home and sits down and tries to solve any problems. Like the gentleman was saying inside there, we don't take any data. So if we don't have any data, we don't know what to do. So none of us, we don't do none of that stuff yet. This country is a joke. And nice show, gentlemen. But
thank you.
The gentleman who was in there talking about the chemtrail thing, you need to push for them to bring you one more.
Okay? We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. Don't worry.
All right, the other caller. We got another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. This is Remark.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Can you speak up a little bit into your mic?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Garth, Mr. Russell, thank you for taking my call to your guest. Good afternoon. My name is Paul, and I want to thank you for your bravery in sharing your journey. I hope that more of us who've gone through that or had loved ones who go through that also come out and speak up on this topic that, unfortunately, I think we don't talk too much about. So I've lost loved ones to cancer, and I know persons, you know, close friends of mine who are still going through that journey at this particular moment, because even when you're in remission, you are still a survivor, but you are still fighting, because the cancer can always come back. But before I do that, a point of clarity. I heard a caller just earlier talk about autism.
Yes.
And linking it to vaccines. Mm-hmm. So I can be fact-checked, but I believe that the first case of autism was discovered somewhere around the late 1700s or early 1800s. Mm-hmm. And vaccinations didn't really become widespread until a few years after that. Mm-hmm. The measles vaccine, I think, wasn't introduced until like the 1960s.
Okay.
So not to say that our environment and some of the poor choices that we're making don't contribute to now this higher prevalence of cancer, but I certainly don't think we should discourage persons from taking the health care needed to prevent some of these things that basically humans, we've been able to basically eradicate things like smallpox and stuff like that.
But we're in a different, with all due respect, ma'am, we're in a very, very different environment from way back then.
Right. That's correct.
And should you read the, and I'm not attacking you, so please understand, this is Nico Mosco. The new study came out, I think, on Friday. How many vaccinations that are going to be required for the children to do certain things? Mm-hmm. And in regard to the autism or otherwise, and if it's discovered in 1776 or what you had said, these things exist. However, they have ramped up a very serious situation where most of the population, because it's a population control at this point, so there's many problems going with autism and all these other diseases. So it's not a matter of what it was then. It's what we're dealing with now. We have sinister people that are alive and well and kicking.
Understood, Mr. Mosco. I'm not having read the piece of research that you're referring to. Certainly I wouldn't be able to speak intelligently to it. So I was only basically making that point.
There's nothing wrong with that, ma'am.
Well, I love your contribution. Reach out to me. I'd love to have you on the show. You sound like you know some good stuff.
Absolutely,
you're
ma'am.
The type of people we need on the show. Is that okay?
Yes, Mr. Garth. Thank you.
And
thank
I
you
was so not attacking you, my dear.
Leave you.
No, I didn't take it that way, Mr. Mosco. Thank you for your
thank you so much.
Yeah, just go ahead and call the producer. Leave your number so we can talk, and we'd love to have you on our show.
All right, then. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
God bless. Have a great evening. So we're in the final leg of the show this evening. So before I let you go and let everybody have a wrap-up, I think if we don't mind, we could take a few minutes to talk about, so where do we go next as a country? You know, when I used to run DHL, I used to have this statement that I said to my staff all the time, you have to control your controllables. One of the things that we control as men is you need to make sure that you get your prostate exam. That is something that you control. And whether or not we ever discover during my lifetime or yours the causes of cancer, whether environmental, whatever the causes may be, we at least have a responsibility to ourselves and to our loved ones to check out our health as best as we can, to eat properly, to take care of ourselves and our bodies. These are things that we control. Nobody stops you from growing a garden in your backyard. Nobody stops you from going fishing in the oceans that God has provided us so blessed. So whatever your issues may be and is going on, I think we at least owe that to ourselves to be responsible for our own health and for our own bodies. So I will leave that there. The other thing that I think that we need to be more forceful with as patients is we have to advocate for our own health. There is enough information online in libraries around the world for us to, as Mr. Strawn mentioned earlier, for us to require during our annual physicals, request of our doctors to do a PSA test, to do the physical exams, to do the scans that are needed, because we know that early detection improves your odds of recovery and control of cancer. And I will leave my contribution there. I want everybody to make sure that they take care of their health, because obviously the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation, and we are too sick of our people, and we certainly can do a better job of that. The name of the ministry is the Ministry of Wellness. Let's focus on the wellness part of that in 2025, and we all have a contribution to make. So, Mr. Strawn, what are your parting words this evening for the guests? What would you want the audience to know about this dreaded C word?
Yeah, well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to share my story. Mm-hmm. Hopefully get a chance to talk a little bit more about the health approach to dealing with cancer and recovery, what some of the benefits are, and how you can go about improving your recovery. We'll talk about that later, but I wanted, and you said it well when you talk about, when you mentioned wellness and having those checks, is very, very important. I can't stress enough how vitally important it is to have your medical check. And also get sufficient rest. Mm-hmm. Get sufficient rest. I think sometimes us men, we are oriented, driven,
yes,
business driven, weight driven. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep going, and you don't get any rest. Mm-hmm. That's very important that you get an adequate rest. You drink a lot of water. You make sure that you exercise. Go for a walk. You don't have to go in the gym or pump iron to exercise. You can just walk the beach, walk mm-hmm. the road, but exercise, rest. And also when it comes to food, eat healthy. Include more fruits and vegetables in your diet,
absolutely,
more natural stuff. I think we are too attracted to the processed foods, mm-hmm. all these cookies and chips and meats and stuff, luncheon meats and that sort of thing. They're loaded with nitrates and so many things. And also, another thing I noticed is creeping into the market.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you buy food, I even saw it on nuts and dried nuts and fruits in a bag. Mm-hmm. And when I turned it and I read it carefully, I noticed it said, may have bioengineered products.
Okay.
And we know now, my first degree was biochemistry. Mm-hmm. So I did genetics. And so I know when you're playing with genes and chromosomes and stuff, you don't know what they put in there. And then they say, by certain laboratories. Which lab?
Right.
And what are they putting in there?
Absolutely.
Some scientists are saying, we're making the food more disease-resistant mm-hmm. and grow faster and be sweeter and big, fatter and plump. I don't need my blueberries juicy and fat.
Right.
The fact is the fruits are more nutritious and beneficial when they have that little tart to it. That means it's doing the job that it needs to do. It's loaded with all the nutrients you need. So I just want us to be aware of these things when we go out and when we search for our food. And you can grow some of your food, grow it. Mm-hmm. And eat that, that's even better. You don't need any, no chemicals on that.
Right.
And so just strive to be that and make sure you take care of yourself. Take care of your health. Place emphasis on you, not in a selfish way, but place emphasis on your life and your well-being on overall.
So I will. You touched on something that I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it tonight. This notion of mental health and what stress does to our bodies and to our. I heard a story this weekend about a father whose wife had passed, and he's dealing with multiple little children in the household, trying to manage a household full of little children. Man, you have to prioritize your mental health. You're really no mm-hmm. good to your children mm-hmm. if you can't even mm-hmm. be able to have a conversation. We're so focused on being providers, mm-hmm. we can't provide from the grave. No. So I think you're right, Mr. Strawn, that we oftentimes as men neglect our very own mental health at the expense. Mm-hmm. We neglect our mental health at the expense of going out and making money, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to find that balance because it's critical for us to be there for our loved ones. Mr. Mosco, with your final contributions tonight.
I just want to say that your contribution, your astuteness, Mr. Co-host, is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. I had to shake my colleague's hand to my right, the cancer survivor. When he told me his age, I was shocked. Ladies, whatever he's doing, this man, I said, his skin is flawless. This man is taking care of himself in ways that all of those serums that you guys are buying in whatever beauty place ain't working. Y'all got to call this man, ask him what he's doing. God has smiled on him. He survived one of the worst plague on this earth. And I was explaining to him that I do understand not to the extent what he's gone through, but I've had brain surgery twice. And I'm lucky, fortunate to be here and speaking. But I had to shake his hand. But the simple reason is he went through war with one of the worst, if not the worst demon on the planet, next to the devil.
All right, we've got another call on the air before Mr. Roll and Garth wrap up the show. Go ahead, caller, you're on.
Hi, this is Ruben.
Hey, Ruben.
Wonderful show, guys.
Thanks, guy.
I think you would have struck deeper than it may seem. It's good listening to you. I think you touch virtually all the points, even though we know that the time is enough for full expression. I'm here, Garth.
Go ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah, thank you very much. But what I want to just take a moment as we wrap up to remind us, people of faith, one thing troubles and trials do, it causes individuals to become more in contact with their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that cancer in itself is self by nature in the simplest definition is out of order, disorder. Mm-hmm. Cells that have broken their natural path and run amok. And you know, God is a God of order. We must also understand and appreciate that even notwithstanding our faith, and we have just buried a wonderful person who struggled with cancer just recently, and my wife had it, and we've overcome it, and we all know the stories that goes on, and many times there are people of also faith. But we must understand that faith without works is dead.
We must
not only hold faith with God, we must not work against God. We cannot continue to feed ourselves poison and pray for healing.
Yes.
We cannot put ourselves in toxic environments and yet we're praying for healing. You know, there's a reason why God said, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And there's a reason why God said, the joy of the Lord is your strength and happiness is a medicine. There's a reason why God said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And what it simply means also, too, is that you have to take time. Because the designer says there is a time for rest, and all of you guys have touched it. You know, the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lot. You know how cancer comes in? It don't always comes in as a sign can that has 50% cancer in it.
Yeah.
It's those small things, the consumption of sugar,
mm-hmm.
and things over time in the environment, and it sneaks up on you, and thus you guys recommend it, which is so true. Constant surveillance of yourself
mm-hmm.
is one of the greatest protectors.
Hear, hear.
The environment and the struggle with bills and the struggle with children and the struggle with anxiety and even the struggle with abuse and
mm-hmm.
spousal abuse. These things inflict the body and throw it into chaos. And these things are manifested in cancer. But I want to remind us all that God is a God of order.
Mm-hmm.
And if we cooperate with God, we will bring order to our lives. And just as you said, but in your job, the former job at DHS, a good manager is one who brings order. I also want to remind us, the Bible says something that's very interesting. He says how there are things that taste good to the mouth, and it's bad for the belly. And the things that are bitter to the mouth, and they are good for the belly. All they do with our food is to attract our taste buds, but they have no regard for our health. You all know how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
All they want to do is find ways to addict you and keep you keep the sales high, but they're not concerned about your health. And so today we want to stand with those who have been diagnosed with cancer, and we want to stand preventively with those who do not know or those who have checked and have not been diagnosed.
Very true.
And we want to speak to the Spirit of God, of God, of order. Christ was wounded, and we're going to pray for our transgression, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of his peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Even for those who do not believe in Christ, the body that they lived in, designed by God, has its built-in healing. But if we do right by the temple God has put us in, it has the ability to regenerate beyond anything man has ever made. And then we must realize that in nature, with the proper balance, Father God, we find that the chemical interaction facilitates our healing. So, Father, we pray today for a change in our environment, that we get back to our land and to our greens and to the things that are healthy, that we resist the garbage that is being dumped in our country, things that are labeled for export only, that we study and research the things that we put in our mouth, because our life is greater than riches. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he dies? Father, we thank you this day, and we know you stand with us to provide healing and comfort with the Holy Spirit. So we stand hand in hand with those who are grieving, those who are in pain, those who are frightened because of their diagnosis. And we declare by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not allow the diagnosis to cause your mind to flow further into bondage, but stand strong and know that you are not alone. And whether God does it divinely or God does it to someone who he has divinely educated in the medical field, we declare victory over your life this day. We pray that, God, that our governments will become more deliberate in their efforts to protect the people. Father God, I remember years ago when the roads were being dug up, and I saw the types of pipes that carry our water. Father, and I prayed on the side of the road that this does not continue, because we know how cancer and illness is transferred through these pipes that are contaminated. We declare responsibility. We declare that our Ministry of Environment will stand up and not be looked at as a token ministry, but one that is critical to the health and the wealth of our society. We thank you for our country. We thank you for our location. We thank you for those who you have blessed with skills of the highest order and the highest level. And we declare that those who have will support those who don't. Those who feel distance will step into the fight of those who are fighting and provide whatever they can in love and kindness and tenderness to be their brother's keeper. For the cancer that we fight today at somebody's doorstep can lead to the breakthrough when cancer reaches your doorstep. And we rebuke the devourer today. We bless this panel and their communications, because they are in the fight by standing up for right and speaking truth to power. We declare blessings on their efforts and all that they do. Bless this show called Remark for opening its door
in
for
Jesus'
unique
name.
Form of expression.
Thank Amen. You, Ruben.
And we declare a blessing over this show in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What a
Amen.
Great contribution. Amen. Thank Amen. You, sir.
All right, Mr. Rowe, quickly. Tell
yeah,
you
I want to say amen and amen again to Mr. Robbing Prayer. Also, I want to encourage my brothers who work in the water sport industry, which I'm in, to put on your sunscreen, which is very important, because it made me think as we as black people can get skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, ladies, I want you to get your mammogram. And guys, please go ahead and get your PSA test. And you don't have to always use the finger. There's a new method now that by you can just take a blood test. You know, don't be afraid. Like I said before, you may lose your virginity, but life is more important. And God bless you all.
Hey, this is Jemima, folks. I'm Garth Rose Burrow. Listen, we're going to continue this conversation at the end of this month. We're going to take next week off for Super Bowl. And following Super Bowl, we're going to have
Eagles!
Charles Sawyer, Bob the show. And then we'll ask Ruben and we'll ask for Rudy to come back. And we'll continue this discussion on cancer. Have a good one, folks. Be safe and get tested.
If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. There are dread. Stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love enough for us growing.